Welcome to What the Fuck Yoga Podcast.
I'm your host, Anna.
And I'm your other host, Katie.
And this is episode 18.
Ooh. Also known as?
Episode 1 of?
Season 2. We're famous now. That's just.
No, we're not. Okay. We wish we were, though.
Yeah, for sure. So, anyway.
We made it!
We made it.
I just hit myself in the face when I did that on accident.
I saw it.
Oh. Thanks for not calling me out.
So, I'm really proud of us for doing a whole season.
Me too.
And sticking to it.
We
and
did
not
it.
Being like, oh, hey, let's do this
let's
thing.
And quit two episodes.
Oh, it's hard.
I mean, it is hard.
It is hard. It's a lot of work.
Maybe we should just quit.
No, my God.
Okay, bye, guys. No, just kidding.
Click. Like it's a phone. Click.
Yeah, click.
Also, phones don't click anymore because you just hit a button.
You're right.
Which sucks when you want to hang up
on
somebody.
Like,
not even. It's just silence. It's like.
You're right. That's not
just
fun.
Like that. Okay. So how's your week?
My week.
You look tired.
I am tired. I taught class this morning, but you taught 3 classes this morning.
I did.
So I'm not going to complain.
Back to back to
and
back.
And mine was yin, so it was just like super chill. I was like, just sit here for 1 hour. No, that's not what it was.
The
at
worst
all.
Yin teacher in the world. I'm going to go get some coffee. You
I'm
guys know what to
do.
I'm
just here for an hour. Enjoy. No,
this
that's
is teaching
true.
You patience.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, anything of significance happened in the last week since I last saw you, and I can't come up with anything.
Okay.
My life is super exciting. Oh, no, that's not true. Wait, when did we see each other last?
Wednesday. Wednesday.
Wednesday.
I like to pronounce every letter.
Wednesday.
What? That was too many
that
syllables.
That was not the word.
Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah, something exciting in my life did happen. I mean, it's not that exciting.
On
Monday, I went to the city, which is always super fun.
Yes.
And we ate a ton of food. And that was the most exciting thing that happened to me this week.
Sign me up. You made it sound like I got married or something.
Yeah, I know. I was like, in my head, I was going to say, and I'm pregnant. Just kidding! JK, JK.
JK.
But yeah, that's it. That's the only cool thing I know.
I like it.
How
food
about
is
you?
Always exciting. Food is
yeah,
always
we
exciting.
Had chocolate ice cream tacos.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw the pictures.
Yeah. And we ordered 8 of them.
Nice.
For 6 people.
You have to have one for each hand. That's not enough.
Yeah. Well, that was after eating 8 pizzas at a pizza place we went to. So, yeah, we overdid it.
Okay. So here's my thing on food.
Uh-huh. Eat
I
it
like,
all?
Well, yeah, always. But I like variety. So if I'm going out with people, I would not get 8 pizzas. I would get a pizza, and then I would get like a plate of tacos, and then I would get a plate of pasta. I don't know.
But I love the theory, but like we were at an Italian pizza restaurant.
Okay.
So like that wasn't an option.
Fine. Don't they have other things on the menu?
Yeah, I mean, we got some appetizers, like, we got bruschetta, and what else did we get? I don't even remember what other appetizers we got. We were, like, there for the pizza.
Okay,
so,
fine.
And they
you
have so many different styles.
I don't want this to turn into an argument
okay.
on air.
Yeah, well, let's take it outside, Katie. Let's take it outside.
I'm just kidding. What kind of pizza did you get?
My favorite one was the prosciutto and arugula pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And it was Italian style, so super, super thin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then we got another good one was this like truffle.
Oh my God, I love
truffles.
This
like truffle pizza, I guess. Oh my God, it was so good. It was like the best pizza I've
ever had.
Where was this? It's called Forno Rosso in Chicago. It's in the West Loop, like not Wicker Park. What am I trying to say? Fulton Market. So like Restaurant Row on Randolph Street. So good.
We have to take you to Slice in Wakanda.
I love Slice!
Oh, well, never mind. Have you had the Sicilian salad?
Yes!
That's my favorite.
So good.
Steve yesterday goes, you know, we should go to Slice and, like, just get the salad. And I was like, yes! And we can also get, like, a pizza on the side.
Their pizzas are so good.
And he was like, well, I just meant for the salad. I'm like, yeah, I know, but... Like, I
you
can't go
there and not get pizza.
No, exactly. Yeah. But you also can't go there and not get the Sicilian salad.
Right.
Everybody who does is stupid.
They have the best tiramisu I've ever had.
What?
Yeah.
No, I have had their tiramisu.
So
it's
good.
Really good.
It's so good. Oh, God, I love Slice.
You
They're
go?
Not open on Mondays, though.
Are they open today?
Probably. What's today? Saturday? Yeah, it's Saturday. I mean, I gotta work, otherwise
damn
I say
it.
Yes.
You look really sick, though.
Do I look sick?
Oh, my God.
Is that what you just said?
I was joking.
Oh, I was
you
like,
should call
damn,
in.
Dude. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, you looked at me with such... Do I look sick?
No, it's like, you look like shit.
You're beautiful. So. You've got rosy cheeks. Your eyes are wide and bright.
Oh my God, maybe I have a fever.
Oh my God, there's nothing I can say about this better. Do you want to be pale or rosy? It's your choice.
I don't know.
Okay, fine.
The slice is thebomb.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I've only been there once because my days off are Mondays and I don't open on Mondays.
That sucks.
I know. I love that place.
Me too. Mm. We could do takeout.
We could. On like a Wednesday night or something. Yeah.
Or we could do a lunch.
We could go there for lunch. Yeah.
Okay, we'll leave this out. Okay.
We'll make plans off air.
I'm back at my corporate job.
Talking like we're live.
We're live.
On the air.
I'm back at my corporate job. So yes. Like, a lot of times in a meeting, they'll be like, let's take this offline. And it's like, we're in person. Mean? We're not online.
What does that mean?
It means like you'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Yeah, like how, not in the meeting.
How was your first official
My first week official back? Week was awesome. Mm. It was great.
Good.
It's so nice to be back.
I'm so happy for you.
Thanks. Me too.
Yay.
It's nice. I get to be creative again and come up with puns and write puns literally
That's
all day.
That's Katie's passion.
Yes. Puns are my passion. You could say I'm punching it. No.
Punching it?
No. I don't. I was thinking passionate.
I was trying to figure out what it was. Then I was like punctual? I don't. It.
Oh my God. Well, no, I can't give that away. Never mind. That's okay. A proprietary secret. Anyway, bum, bum, bum. Yes, my first week back was awesome. It's so nice to be back with my team.
Yay!
And doing fun work. And now that I used to be salaried, and when I came back, now I'm hourly.
Mm-hmm.
So when the client changes their mind 5 times and we have to redo it 5 times,
you're like, great.
Great. You get to pay me to do it again.
Yeah, fantastic.
I know, it's kind of cool.
That is nice.
Yeah, it just takes a lot of the, like, anger off.
Yeah.
Instead of like, you're wasting my time. Now it's like, okay, fine. You're paying me to do it 5 times.
That's so cool.
Yep.
Good for you. Everybody clap Thanks. For Katie.
Thank Woo! You. Thank you. More claps, please.
More claps.
Keep going.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Enough like, claps.
A few more.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Some snaps.
Yeah.
Some high fives. Yeah. Okay. What was that? And then she grabbed her boobs.
They were bouncing like, when I was high-fiving.
And now we grab our boobs. Everybody grab your boobs.
Done.
Okay.
So anyway, what are we talking about?
Today, we are talking about two of the yamas, Ahimsa and Satya.
Yes. Why aren't we talking about all of them today?
Because there's a lot of them.
There are a lot of them.
And we want to go into great depth.
We want to get deep.
Yeah.
All right. So, as we covered in the last 17 episodes, yoga is so much more than just its physical practice.
Say what?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
That's
it's
crazy.
Not just your asana. So get your head out of your asana.
Oh my God, here we go with the puns.
I'm telling you guys,
here
I'm
we
on.
Go.
I didn't say I wrote good puns.
Buckle up.
Anyway, so yoga in its oldest form is still a path to enlightenment. That's the goal.
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
Yeah. And ancient yogic texts break down various paths to attaining enlightenment, which we rambled on about all last season. But this season, we're going to focus on one path in particular, the 8 limbs. And you want to, this is what you love. So I'm going to let you say this line.
This is what I love.
This is what you live for.
I'm going to, even though you were the one to write
it. I wrote it, but I'm going to let you say it.
Big props.
Thank you.
So. We're going to go out on a limb here and say that this is the most well-known path.
So funny. But right?
Thank you.
I hope you guys understood that.
The 8 limbs are found in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, which is over about 2,000 years old. If you remember the classical period, that's when this is from. We did a whole episode on... not only Patanjali Sutras in season 1, but also the 8 limbs.
Yeah, so if you're like, what? Just go back and listen to that.
Yeah, it's a nice introduction mm-hmm. to this whole season.
Yeah, but it's impossible to go into great depth in like a 45-minute episode, so we thought for season 2, we could devote the entire season to the 8 limbs. So every episode cover part of a limb or a whole limb, an arm, a leg. All the arms and legs.
All the appendages.
Yes.
So if you do not like the 8 limbs and they're not, you know, your favorite, tough.
Tough shit. Tune tough in for shit. Season 3, I guess.
We'll see you in a few months. No, just
no, please listen.
Just stay. Just listen to us. Hear us out. It's there's a lot of awesome lessons to be learned from Patanjali's 8 limbs that we think you need.
Yeah, and I never really was interested in the 8 limbs until we started researching them.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, they're, like, packed full of meaningful thoughts and ideas that...
Chock full of fun.
Chock full of fun. I don't know about that, but just, like, good stuff that you can use in your everyday life.
Right.
Yeah, make you think a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, real quick recap. In the sutras, Patanjali lays out Ashtanga Yoga, which translates to eight limbs. So, Ashta is eight, and Anga, I guess, would be limb. So, it's a pretty literal translation. And these are steps that guide yogis how to lead a meaningful life with morals and self-discipline.
You know, those little things.
Yeah.
Those pesky little things that ruin all our fun.
Do you want to tell them what the eight limbs are?
I do.
Okay.
So, the first limb are the yamas, and yamas are our moral codes or discipline. The niyamas is the second one, and that's self-purification and restraints. Asana is posture, so that's our physical practice. Pranayama means breath control. Pratyahara is sense withdrawal.
Withdrawal?
And that's so weird. Sense withdrawal. Dharana is concentration. Dhyana is meditation. And samadhi is
enlightenment.
Get lit.
Get lit, y'all.
That means something different, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But today we're going to focus on the yamas, and in particular the first two.
Yes, because...
So there's five yamas, I think?
I believe so.
Yes.
The yamas, just so you guys know for the upcoming episodes, yamas and niyamas are both broken into separate sections as well. So there are a bunch of different yamas, a bunch of different niyamas. Mm-hmm. And then when we get into the rest of the limbs, they're really just one concept.
Yeah.
All right. Any questions?
Yeah. What are the five yamas?
What are the five yamas? The five yamas are ahimsa and satya, which we're going over today. Mm-hmm. And next week we'll focus on asteya, brahmacharya, and aparigraha.
Cool.
Cool.
So let's get into it.
Yeah. So what the fuck are the yamas?
They are the foundation to living your best life, y'all.
That sounds like an infomercial when you wake up in the middle of the night. And it's like, do you want to live your best life? Call now. But wait, there's more. For only five easy payments of $7,000 each.
You can get the five yamas.
Wouldn't that be cool if you could just buy them?
Yeah.
Here, I got my good stuff.
Actually, I can't talk, so. I was going to say that would be easier. That would take seven payments of $7,000 to attain the yamas.
If you just pay me, I will give you the yamas.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. Let's work out a deal.
Great. You can PayPal me.
Okay.
We'll take that offline.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the eight limbs, as Anna said, the foundation to living your best life. So the eight limbs are set up in a practical step-by-step system, each limb kind of building upon the previous limb. But you can also use them out of order.
Yeah.
So for me, it makes most sense that one leads to the next. But Anna pretends that's not true. My real feelings come out. I meant for first.
No, I know.
That was so Freudian and shitty of me.
That was funny. It's
cool. Anna prefers to think of them as a wheel, where all of them are kind of interwoven with each other.
Yeah, but Patanjali set it up in the way that they build upon each other.
Correct.
So you can think of the yamas as the foundation.
Yes.
Of the eight limbs.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
The yamas are the first limb, and there are ethical guidelines or moral codes. So without further ado, let's get into the very first yama, ahimsa.
My favorite one.
Mine too. This was like my big lesson to learn.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, what does ahimsa mean?
It means nonviolence.
So don't hurt
people. Don't hit me, Katie.
Okay. Sorry.
It's okay.
Gotta stop doing that.
Yeah. Easy, right?
No. I mean, yeah. Because we're like nonviolence, and most people are like, okay, yeah, I do that. Yeah. I don't punch people in the face.
I don't punch people.
Yeah.
I just trip people in the kitchen.
Okay, that's also.
I need to stop doing that?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Sorry.
Cool.
I mean, unless they're jerks, so why not?
No, it's just when they're carrying like really hot plates.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, oh, okay, all right, I'll stop.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's easy, right?
No.
No, because there's a lot more to this than just avoiding punching people in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, as easy as that would be. So ahimsa is our first yama, as we've said five times already, and therefore the very foundation to the rest of the yamas. And ahimsa guides us to live our lives in a way that doesn't cause harm to others or ourselves.
Yeah. So nonviolence is the core of the yoga practice. And also in the eyes of Eastern philosophy, it's also kind of like the foundation of their beliefs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially for Patanjali and the sutras and all that. So physical harm such as killing are obvious sources of violence, like we just mentioned. Yeah, obvi. And they're more easily grasped and understood. But there are much more subtle forms of violence, which is kind of what we're going to get into.
Yeah, because we don't need to tell you to not beat people.
To not hurt. Yeah, yeah. So we'll go to the more difficult.
Right.
More difficult.
More difficult.
So, yeah, so there's this really great book that I started reading. It's called, I'm going to scroll all the way down. Sorry.
Okay.
It's called The Yamas and Niyamas, Exploring Yoga's Ethical Practice. And it's by Deborah Adele. It's a really great little book. I highly recommend it if you want to learn more about the yamas and niyamas.
We'll have it in our source.
Yes, we will.
In our sources on our website.
Let me get back to where we were. Where was it?
Right there.
Okay, yeah. So there's this quote in the book that I really like because I think it just like explains ahimsa like really well to the point. So the quote is, "Our ability to be nonviolent to others is directly related to our ability to be nonviolent within ourselves." Whoa.
Powerful.
Whoa.
I love that. So you're saying,
I love that.
You're saying if I'm constantly talking myself down, mm-hmm. that I can't support and talk up other
How
people?
How can you?
That's right.
Right?
Word. I like that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't like that. I like that. We're calling attention to that
right,
fact.
Right.
We have to work ourselves up. We have to take care of our own bodies and our own minds. Mm-hmm. For us to have the energy to give that to somebody
totally.
Else.
Totally. Yeah.
Boom.
So if you're having like a bad day or a bad week or a hard year, you know, you might find yourself speaking harsh words or having outbursts towards people who have really done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
You know, usually the people that you're closest to.
Yep. Usually the people who are trying to support you the most.
Yes. And Deborah Adele, the author of the book that I just quoted from, she talks a lot about fear playing a vital role in ahimsa, which I think makes so much sense. So fear creates violence. Bless you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You have such tiny little sneezes. They're so delicate.
I bet our listeners couldn't even hear it.
Probably not.
Probably not. It's the only thing delicate that I do.
Mine are like earth-shattering sneezes. Achoo! I get it from my mama. She sneezes like crazy.
Everybody in my family is like Italian, so huge noses.
Yeah.
And I mean, I do too. I've just tamed mine to be so loud. But yeah,
maybe that's why I sneeze so loud because we're Italian.
Oh well, no, but it's Italian with the nose that makes you sneeze.
I mean,
loud.
My mom's got
a honker.
A honker.
You got your dad's nose.
I almost said dunker, but that's a butt. She got a dunker.
I don't know what dunker means, but I've never heard that.
Really?
No, but I kind of like it. Check out this cute little dunker.
No, my mom's got a honker and a dunker.
And a dunker.
I got her honker and her dunker. All right.
Anyways. So
yeah. So fear. Fear plays a vital role in ahimsa. Fear creates violence. And I think that this totally rings true in today's current political atmosphere.
Absolutely.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Fear starts wars. It builds walls. People begin to like hoard stuff. So taking more than they need. Picture Black Friday.
Oh, there you go.
Well, yeah. It's fear of not getting that fifth Bratz doll that you
stupid.
Needed to get your kid.
Yeah.
And beating people up in the halls, the walls, the
wind. In the halls.
Aisles. In okay. the aisles of the store.
Yeah. So it's like living in excess while others lack. Wow. Whoa.
Oh my God.
Stop finishing my sentences, Katie.
Get out of my brain,
Get out
Anna.
Of my brain.
Get out of my mind.
Ugh.
So even... but yes, so greed, control, all that stuff. So, oh my God, what do? We're screwed.
I mean, I hope not.
But maybe. No, we are not. I'm going to say we're not. We're definitely
okay,
not screwed.
Good.
But the first step is to find courage to offset that fear within ourselves.
Yeah. So address your own fears, even if that makes you uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way to do that is seek out new experiences, people, surroundings. Step outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you can never rid yourself of fear entirely. That's impossible.
And that's not the point. How boring would life be?
I am fearless.
Like, yeah. What if you were like, you know, it's fun to, you know, feel a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Fear.
Yeah. But also.
Anxiety?
No, or? Not that. That's not fun. Okay.
No, it's not.
Adrenaline.
Yeah. Yes. Like jumping out of an airplane.
Yeah. What if you did that and you're like, oh my God, this is so boring.
Like, whatever.
This is so last week.
Yeah, like you would never get a rush.
Right. And that's just not living. Not that I'm saying go jump out of an airplane, unless you want to, which you do you, but you should do it.
It's crazy awesome.
I have not done it, and I don't feel the need to.
I'll never do it again, but I'm glad I did it. It made me so sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like threw up everywhere. My head was pounding for the rest of the day. Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. But for the 60 seconds of free fall, it was awesome.
I bet that's fun. It's
so cool. Yeah, that's it. It's 1 minute.
That's a lot of money and paying for 60 seconds. I know.
And it goes by so fast. Like, by the time he was like, I'm going to pull the chute, I was like, what? That was plenty of what? Yeah. He's like, yeah, it's been a minute. And I was like, holy shit.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But then when he pulls the chute and you start, like, swooping around in the air to land on the X, that's when I got really sick.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no.
That would make me sick. Did you throw up in his face?
No, I didn't throw up in his face. Okay. Like, when we landed, I, like, took a minute, but I was like, bleh!
Did you really throw up?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He said it happens all the time.
Yeah, I bet. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't handle spinny rides. Like,
oh, me either.
Teacups, even when I'm not spinning the little car. No.
Mm-mm.
Thanks, Carrie Day's Gravitron.
Oh, God, yeah. No.
Yeah, that ruined my life.
Yeah, not so really. Basically, to get rid of your fear, you have to jump out of an airplane. That's the moral of that tangent.
And done. Goodbye,
done
all.
And done.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, yeah, we're kidding.
So, ahimsa starts with you. Self-love.
That's right.
Yep.
Self-love, y'all.
So, how we treat ourselves is really reflected in how we treat others. So, you'll never meet somebody who's, well, I mean, I guess there's some dicks who think they're awesome and they treat other people like shit. But if you truly love
yourself. But they're probably really insecure.
Right.
I mean, it's when you get down to it.
It's not true love. It's this, like, it's ego. It's not
totally.
Love.
Yeah.
So if you truly love yourself, you're not going to be a jerk to other people.
Right.
So it's just not going to happen that way. And if you are, I don't know, you're a freak of nature. Done.
But that's also, like, a constant work in progress.
Yes. And it we don't all treat ourselves well. Like, think about in the last week how many times you told yourself, like, something physically about you isn't perfect, or you screwed something up, or you didn't, whatever.
Yeah, or, like, you ate that bowl of ice cream and you were like, well, no, I feel like shit and I have to go run tomorrow.
Right.
Or something. Like, you punish yourself for
it. Exactly. You should have gotten to work early. You should have gone for a run. You should have done this.
Right.
And then think of how many times you went, yeah, I'm fierce. Or like
never.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, fuck yeah, I just did that.
Right.
Never. We only get down on ourselves.
Exactly.
We're never like.
It's basically the comments page on any Yelp review. Like, it's just complaints. Because when people are happy, they're not like talking
I
about
hate
it.
Yelp. Yelp is the worst thing to ever come into existence. What was that?
Oh my God.
That was
it's
like
from
an
Parks
R&B
and Rec.
Song.
It's from Parks and Rec.
Is it?
Yeah.
Shoot, I don't know the reference.
It's, what's his name? Jean, whatever.
Yeah.
He's talking about his sister and he goes, she's the worst.
I love those two.
Me too. Mona Lisa. That's her name.
Mona Lisa, yes. She's crazy.
She is crazy.
She's the worst.
If you haven't watched Parks and Rec, go watch Parks and Rec because it's going to make you love yourself.
Yeah, turn off our podcast immediately.
Well, listen to the rest of it.
Go watch Parks and Rec.
So anyway.
Self-love.
Self-love.
So and I think that's reflected a lot in the body positive movement that you've been seeing. Yes, I love that. Thank you. You didn't see Katie, but she was just like,
showing off my curves.
Yeah, curves, y'all. Curves, y'all. I'm trying to explain it with my hands, and you can't see me. So that worked out really well.
Okay. We're just going to cut that part out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the body positive movement, it's like all over social media, mm-hmm. and I think it's like one of the greatest things to happen.
Yes.
Finally. I mean, who doesn't struggle with body image?
Yeah, everybody, because we're
Seriously,
told that we're supposed
everybody.
To. And even... I mean,
especially in the yoga world, which is so fucked.
Yes. And it's sometimes like it ends up being a self-fulfilling prophecy too, because when I was little, I didn't really have body image issues.
No, nobody does when they're little.
But then people say, oh my God, I'm so fat. And I'm like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be feeling and saying.
Yeah.
So you start saying that even though you don't mean it. Like, oh yeah, me too. God, look at my thighs, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then over time you're like,
Well, that's like okay, so remember in Mean Girls where they're all standing in front of the mirror and Katie. Okay, so Katie, Lindsay Lohan, we'll say Lindsay Lohan, okay. She's from Africa. Or she's not from Africa, but she was raised in Africa, so she was always homeschooled. So she doesn't have, like, most of the problems everyday teenagers have in America. Right. So she's standing in front of the mirror with her, like, three new friends. And they're like, my thighs are so fat. My split ends are terrible. My nail beds suck. And they, like, look at her, because she's like, what are they doing? And right. She goes, I have bad breath in the morning. And they're like, ew.
I need to watch it. I've
so if we can
like,
all be more like Lindsay Lohan. Yeah, be like Lindsay Lohan.
But be careful.
But don't actually do that.
Don't do the drugs and stuff.
Just don't be like Lindsay
But do
Lohan.
The rest of it.
Don't be like Lindsay Lohan. Terrible
Be
example.
Like Katie from Mean Girls.
But for real, it's true.
Yeah, and I bet she's a very nice person who's just had a rough life.
She probably has had a rough life.
For sure. Is self-love easy?
No, it's fucking hard. It's
yeah,
hard
it
work.
It is. Because otherwise we'd all just be doing it and have it, right?
We'd all just have, like, total confidence
right?
all the time.
Thanks, commercials of beautiful people. Ugh. Yeah.
I saw this really good post on Instagram pretty recently. And someone posted, unfollow all the accounts that make you feel like shit.
I saw that, too.
I mean, I don't think it was those words exactly.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? Like, hell yeah. And I went through and I did this whole, like, clean out of my Instagram. And it's actually, it's working.
Good.
But seriously, like, I was following all these accounts of people just doing these, like, really intricate yoga poses.
Right.
Like, totally advanced yoga poses. And they're all, like, really skinny, white women who
right.
look perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, this is the easiest one-armed handstand, backbend,
binds.
Whatever. Yeah. And it's like, no!
This is an inverted
inversion. This is
not
yoga. I mean, it is, but do you know what I mean?
It's somebody
like,
else's yoga.
It's somebody
else's.
It's not my yoga.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're feeling like you need to be at that yoga,
right.
then that's not an account that you
yeah.
should be following.
Yeah, and it's just, I feel like social media has totally, like, just kind of
yes.
destroyed.
And at the same that. Time, I like, that's a another conversation.
Yeah, it
like,
is a total,
we need to
it's
be
like
more
a whole
conscious
other episode.
Because we participated in that challenge, and it
oh,
was
yeah.
super fun,
mm-hmm.
and it was super positive, and there are people of all, you know, practice levels
yeah.
and physical abilities. So it was really cool to do that.
Yeah, that was a cool
and I think
challenge.
We just need to be conscious about who we're following and how we're letting it affect us.
Totally.
Yes.
Yeah. So just be more conscious in your social media. Like, if you notice that you're, like, scrolling through Instagram and you're looking at accounts that make you feel like shit about yourself,
mm-hmm.
maybe unfollow those people.
Yes. Because it's not like...
Speaking from experience,
right.
it works.
And it's not like they're doing anything wrong. It's just you need to make sure that you're doing the thing that makes you feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. Follow accounts that make you feel good.
Yeah. Like
so.
Ours.
Like our accounts.
We're on Instagram, FYI.
So let's move on from that.
Yes. Because
that could be a whole nother beast or
mm-hmm.
animal.
Yep.
Or monster.
Beast animal monster. So far we've discussed living more compassionately toward ourselves.
Yeah.
So now that we've got that sorted out, let's focus on practicing ahimsa toward others.
Okay.
So number one, do not punch people in the face.
Yeah.
Number two, Anna will
I,
perform a quote from you.
I will perform a quote from the same book I quoted before. So, Lucille Clifton once said, every pair of eyes facing you has probably experienced something you could not endure.
Beautiful.
Performance.
Beautiful
oh, thank
performance.
You.
And also a beautiful quote.
I love that quote. I read that and I was like, dang.
Mm-hmm.
It's so
powerful.
True.
You don't need, you have no idea.
Right. And, but specifically try and remember this when you're interacting with a really difficult person
mm-hmm.
or like a really unpleasant person.
Yeah.
Which can be really hard.
Oh, yes.
You know, especially if you're in,
Retail.
Yes. Thank
or
you.
Or food service. Yep.
Speaking from experience.
Uh-huh.
It's hard.
Very. But just remember, like, they could have been through something that you have no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Not that that makes their behavior acceptable. Not that that means that you should have to be subject to their, you know.
Right. Right.
Meanness.
Yeah, for sure.
Cruelty. But it does mean that you can respond compassionately.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you don't have to be a dick back. You could
That's
be.
Right.
Because, remember, Anna said that she read that quote, where any energy you get, you can also give in return.
Mm-hmm.
So it is okay to be firm and say, mm-mm.
Yeah.
But, you know, just don't be a super dick about it.
Just a little one.
No one loves a super dick.
Just a little weenie.
Just a little weenie. Just be a little weenie.
Yeah. Yeah. But this will truly test your compassion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So another subtle way that we do harm to others without meaning to is when we just can't leave people alone to walk their own path. So let me try and break this down for you guys. So when someone's going through a hard time or a rough patch and we just worry, and we're constantly checking in on them and trying to offer them advice that maybe they didn't even ask for, that is not practicing ahimsa.
That's true.
Yeah. So
because you're holding them back still.
Right. Yeah.
And even though it's from a good place.
I mean, it's not, though. But it's from a place of fear. Like, you right. think it is. You think you're helping them or supporting right. them, but you're not. You're just constantly badgering them and, in turn, making yourself worry, right. driving yourself crazy.
Right.
So you just have to know that you can't save people, you can't fix people. That's up to the individual.
Yeah, I agree. And I have an autoimmune disorder. Mm-hmm. So, as you well know, and there's a lot of people in my life who over worry, and that's really stressful to me, because now not only am I dealing with this disorder, but I'm also dealing with somebody else dealing with it, and that's not my job. It's not my job to make you feel better about what I'm going through,
right?
And I don't need that to be the focus of my life, you know. So yeah, I totally get that. It doesn't mean that you don't need any help,
right?
You know, it doesn't mean that if you have somebody who's going through, a friend who's going through something really hard, that you can't be like, no, you walk your own path.
Yeah, right. We're not saying,
bye,
like,
let me know when the cancer's gone. Okay, right. Bye.
No.
Mm-mm. You can still be there and provide support in the shape of a safe space for them to talk to. You listen to them, let them know that you're there for whatever kind of support that they need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it's hard, but.
It is. Especially when, I mean, we do kind of naturally want to fix people.
Right.
You know?
Oh, totally.
I used to be that person too, where it's like, great, okay, I can help you. I can do this. I can do that. And I have learned to step back. And, because usually when you're doing that, it's at the price of something that you're supposed to be doing for yourself.
Oh, yeah. Or you're like maybe avoiding something.
Yep. Let me fix this person's problems because I'm too scared to face my own.
Yeah, totally.
So there's a bunch of other interpretations of ahimsa.
That we want to touch on before we wrap it up.
Right, because they're equally as important. Mm-hmm. And there's different thoughts on all of them. So veganism, vegetarianism.
Those are huge.
Yes, that's a huge form of ahimsa. Not causing harm to animals or the environment. There's conscious, you know, living consciously friendly toward the environment.
Yeah. I think that's huge right now, too.
Don't punch a tree.
Don't punch a tree.
Don't punch a tree.
But I'm seeing, like, a big movement on using less plastic, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to bring that into my life, which is so much harder than I thought imaginable.
I'm drinking out of a glass cup right now.
Good job, girl.
From your pantry. Or cabinet, whatever.
But, like, one thing I started trying to do is, like, not use plastic straws. And it is such an unconscious, like, I just... Straws are everything. Yeah, right. I work in a restaurant, so I get my glass of water and I stick a straw in there, and every time I'm like, damn it! Damn it, Anna!
You gotta take your metal straw with you.
I lost it. I know. I still have mine. Or just not use it. I'm fully capable of drinking water without a straw or like at restaurants, forgetting to tell the server, like, oh, I don't need a straw. No straw. You know? So like, just that little thing.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm trying to, like, get eco-friendly produce bags. Mm-hmm. It's just stuff like that.
Right.
But
bringing your own bag to the grocery store.
That I'm really good at, but the produce bags I'm working on.
Yeah, if only I could fill my car with, like, cow shit or something. I don't know.
Cow shit? For what? Why do you need to fill your car
with gas. I don't know. Trying to be eco-friendly.
That's funny. But, yeah, so be good towards the environment, folks.
Yes.
That is also ahimsa.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice to your animal friends.
Yep. Kiss your dog.
Kiss your dogs.
Or if you're like
vegan, props to you, man.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Or vegetarian, also props. Mad props.
Mad props.
Yeah.
That is all for him.
That is all.
Are we done? No.
No.
Because we're also going to talk about Satya today.
Satya.
Which means?
Truthfulness.
It's true. So, again... Seems pretty straightforward. Don't lie.
Don't lie.
Blah, blah, blah. Easy.
Not.
Oh.
Yeah, again, there's more subtleties to discuss with Satya.
Tell me about these subtleties, Anna.
So the truth often asks us to do what is right, which is not always easy. Mm. Great. And that's why we lie, right?
Yeah, because it's easy.
Because the, yeah, the I don't want to get in trouble, so I'm just going to lie to this person. Or I don't want to hurt their feelings, so I'm just going to tell them a white lie.
Right.
Yeah, but that's not Satya.
That is not Satya. Yeah. So you can be nice, or you can be real.
Or you can be both.
Or you can be both. Hopefully it's both.
Sometimes.
But it doesn't always. You can't. Yeah, sometimes nice and real are opposition. Because if you're being 100% authentic, you're not. That may not mean that other people are going to like what you have to say.
Right.
But get over it.
Living your truth is rarely easy.
If it was, we'd all be doing it, and we're clearly not.
Yeah. So let's go a little bit deeper into Satya. And you can learn more about how to live your best life.
Just for 5 easy payments
of $7,000. If only. Yeah.
As humans. The human race. We face a conundrum where we all need to grow a little bit. Or a lot.
Some more than others.
But we also desire this sense of belonging, which can get a bit tricky because we're like, you know, we get into these groups and we want to fit in with our friends, but we also want to grow.
Right. Conundrums.
Yeah. So if your beliefs start to contradict those of the group you're hanging out with, this is where Satya comes in.
Yeah. And we're not just talking about, like, your friends, but, like, there's so many different groups you belong to.
Your family, your work.
That's it.
If you belong to some kind of faith, your church. Mm-hmm.
Totally. So yeah, if your beliefs start to contradict those of the group, whatever group that may be, that's when things can start to get tricky. So it's like, do you sacrifice your truth in order to belong, or do you choose the more difficult, the other difficult path of risking losing the support of that group?
Right.
So both options kind of suck.
Yeah, you got to make that choice. And if you're with the right people, and you start living your truth, it's not going to matter to them.
That's true.
They're going to stick with you. And
holler.
If you lose them, then that wasn't really the group that you wanted to be with.
No, I'm just kidding.
Fuck them.
That was mean.
So one very topical example are political beliefs. So if you're hanging out with a group of people and you start having these differing beliefs, mm-hmm. It's always worth a conversation. Stand up for your beliefs and what you think is right.
Yeah. But do it in a
constructive way.
A constructive way, yeah. Right. So bring some ahimsa into that Satya.
Yep. Your goal should never be to belittle the other person for their beliefs, but rather to say, like, well, this is what I believe and this is why. So it's not easy.
I'm not very good at that. No, I'm just going to come right out and say it. I'm terrible at
that. We're telling you guys what to do, not what we do. Mm-hmm, and we're not even saying what to do, because you can do whatever you want. We're just telling you what Patanjali says
that you should do. That's true.
Yeah, this is Patanjali talking, not us.
Although it'd be a much more peaceful place if everybody came from a place of...
That is true.
Ahimsa. Mm-hmm. Ahimsa and Satya.
So political beliefs, religious beliefs, even just like work patterns. Like I think that this would be better done. Like I can think of a more efficient way to do this.
Right. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Especially a lot of times in the workplace, it's hard to speak up.
And,
just do it. If you think it makes more sense to put the whole thing on the copier instead of, bitterness. Never mind. Skip that. Never mind.
But you get it.
You get it.
Yeah. So Satya follows ahimsa for a reason. The two kind of go hand in hand. And Patanjali states that no words can reflect truth unless they come from a place of nonviolence.
True. I like that.
True.
So, go out in the world and speak your truth. Live in your truth. But make sure that you're not harming other people or yourself. So it's not like, you know, my truth is to beat people up. You got a shitty truth. Find another one.
That's a bad truth.
It's a bad truth. So let's take this on the mat for a minute. So, for example, when we're practicing asana, sometimes we get into a difficult pose and right away we're thinking, I suck at this, I'm bad at this, this hurts, I can't get there.
Shut down.
Yeah, and we shut down. We give up or we keep trying to push in a way that's not healthy for our bodies or our minds. And what this is doing is harming us and removing the potential for growth. And this is an example of not practicing ahimsa. So we are creating violence. So also, if we're on our mat and we throw ourselves into a pose and we're like, I'm perfect. I'm beautiful.
Nailed it.
I'm the best person at doing this pose in the world. Blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? You're wrong. Because you're probably not perfect. Because nobody's perfect. And what this does is, well, first of all, it's not practicing satya because it's not practicing truth. And what that does is block us from working harder to grow.
So try coming from a place of observation when you practice instead of judgment. So if you're having difficulty in the pose, just observe that. Observe what's happening in your body, in your brain. Don't judge anything that comes up. Don't try and change anything that comes up. Just sit with whatever you're feeling or thinking. Just let it come in and then move on.
Mm-hmm. It's not right or wrong.
Right, right. And this creates a much different atmosphere than the first initial thought. So coming from a place of observation leaves space for growth and learning.
Because if we're not beating ourselves up or pushing in a way that's not healthy, we're going to reroute and find the path that actually leads to growth. And if we're not saying, I'm perfect, there's nothing else I can do to make this better.
Right. How are you supposed to grow?
Exactly.
Yeah, and there's always room for growth.
Oh, yes.
Always.
Always.
Nobody's perfect.
And if you are, you're not.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
And I just want to say, if you are not following Megan Curry on Instagram, you should, because she's amazing, and she speaks a lot to this. A lot, a lot, a lot. So maybe follow her, take some of her online classes.
Yeah.
She's one of my all-time faves.
Yeah, she looks like a little angel-y.
She's like a little
flowy
pixie
thing.
She
yeah,
is.
She's adorable.
She's amazing. But yeah, she speaks a lot of, or a lot to Ahimsa and Satya, whether
yes.
she knows it or not. I'm sure she knows it, but she doesn't actually say Ahimsa and Satya. But yeah,
Ahimsa,
check her out, y'all.
Yeah, back to me.
Okay, back to Katie.
So Ahimsa is like my favorite yama because it's been my greatest lesson because I, with my autoimmune disorder, when it first kind of started, I was like, I can push through this. I can do it.
Yeah.
My hips are tight, so I'm just going to open the crap out of them. Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah, that doesn't
ouch.
Work. Yeah, for sure. So once I learned that, hey, guess what? I'm not going to be jumping into a handstand for any time. And I still don't. That's not part of my practice because of neck and shoulder issues.
Mm-hmm.
So once I learned that I need to practice this nonviolence toward myself, that's when I was able to start growing in my practice because I would stop injuring myself every 2 minutes.
Right.
And then I could actually advance in the poses that did help my body.
Yeah. I think we can all use a little bit more Ahimsa
yes.
and Satya, specifically in our physical practices. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And that concludes this episode. So today we talked about, little wrap up. Today we talked about diving into the 8 limbs.
Mm-hmm.
The first limb is the yamas. And the yamas are comprised of 5 different concepts. So today we spoke about ahimsa.
Nonviolence.
And satya.
Truthfulness.
Boom.
Boom,
so
baby.
Don't hurt people or yourself. And
live
or
your
the
truth.
Environment.
Yeah.
And live your truth.
Yeah.
All right. Any questions? Sorry.
Nope.
We can't see you raising your hand. This is a one-way conversation.
But if you do have any questions, feel free to email us at WTFYogaPodcast@gmail.com.
Or send us a message on Facebook.
Or Instagram.
Or Instagram.
Yeah.
And you can listen, you can find our sources and show notes at WTFYogaPodcast.com.
Watch us.
You can also see us at our second home on the Bad Yogi blog, badyogi.com/blog. Or you can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher.
Yes, we're on Stitcher now.
Yep. Leave a
review
on either one of them.
And I think that's it. Oh, and join our email list.
Yeah.
Yay.
Cool.
That's it, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
What the fuck?
Hey guys.
We hope you love what you hear on What the Fuck Yoga Podcast. If you do, please like and subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or whatever platform you use to listen to your podcasts.
Also, follow us on Facebook and the Gram, aka Instagram. Send us your burning questions or comments to WTFYogaPodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.